Hi, I'm Tim Hall. Thanks for joining us on this last day of 2017. I ask the Lord, give me something clear for the church for the coming year and for Christians in general. And God began to speak to me and he said, this is what I want for your life. And he started to talk to me about prayer, about going back to your first love. And God touched me strongly, and I'm sharing in this session what God spoke to me. I trust it challenges you just like he challenged me. Enjoy this. Taking this particular session on New Year's Eve is, to me, is pretty, it's a big honor actually, because we're stepping into a new year and you want to share something that's not just a sermon, not just something that is something that you've put together or that you've got from the Lord, but you want to share something that really is impacting and stirring as we start this new year. And I was reading and praying and thinking about it. I thought, God, would you give me something to really stir the hearts of the people? But God finished up saying, well, I'm going to stir your heart first. And he began to talk to me, and I said, no, it's for them. And he said, just listen, this is for you. I said, but Lord, I've got to preach to the folk. And he said, I'll talk to you, and then you share what I'm talking to you about. Is that okay? Father, anoint your word, I pray, with strength and power. I pray, Lord, that we would be impacted and changed in the next little while for your glory. I give you praise and I give you thanks. Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the greatest voices of the last century was a man by the name of Smith Wigglesworth. Anyone that's in Bible college would be studying Smith Wigglesworth. People that are hungry for the power of God and want to understand faith are reading about Smith Wigglesworth. He died in 1947 or 48. I think he died just about around the time I was born. He passed away, but his legacy has been incredible. His books and testimonies of his life have impacted down, and he's still talking from the grave. Even from heaven now, Wigglesworth is probably talking to more people now per day than he spoke to physically in his life. Wigglesworth made some profound statements. He prophesied concerning Australia. He came to Australia, he ministered here in Melbourne. He ministered down in Bridge Church, and when he ministered there, people were healed dramatically. One young lady that was healed of deafness ran onto the street, the whole church ran out there. They had an open air meeting, miracles broke out on Bridge Road, and they went back and packed the church out, had a move of God. In fact, there was a move of God in Adelaide, a great move of God that had an ongoing impact that has actually impacted us. But he made this statement. He said, Australia, you have been chosen by God for a great move of the Holy Spirit. This move of God will be the greatest move of God ever known. And it will start towards the end of the 20th century and move into the 21st century. This move of God will start a great revival in Australia and spread throughout the whole world and usher in the second coming of Christ. This will be the final great revival before the time of his coming. He also prophesied with Lester Sumrall. It was 1947. And these were the words that he prophesied in 1947. He said, I see it. I see a revival coming to planet Earth as never before. There will be untold multitudes who will be saved. No man will say so many and so many, because no man will be able to count those who will come to Christ. I see it. The dead will be raised, arthritis healed, cancer will be healed. No disease will be able to stand before God's people. And it will spread all over the world. It will be a worldwide thrust of God's power and a thrust of God's anointing. And so I said to the Lord, I said, well, what? Obviously, you want me to talk about revival. I believe that something is coming. The world's a mess. It doesn't take much if you watch the news and watch everything that's going on to realize that the world right now is a divided mess with situations all over the world that could erupt into war at any time. Stuff could take off tomorrow. There's things really which are ready to blow at any stage. It's like the devil is trying to rush and make as big a mess as he can, knowing that his time is short. But God has a plan. He has talked about the former rain and the latter rain. He talked about the former rain moderately and the latter rain, which will be much, much greater. In fact, the latter rain, it will be seven times. If we go with agriculture in Israel, the latter rain is seven times heavier than the former. And if we take the birth of the church, the first centuries of the early church as the former rain, we can imagine that the latter rain is, it's already happening. We talk about great global revival coming. It's already happening. It's already happening. But the intensity of it is going to increase. I began to read about, and I love to study the old time revivalists. I went back into the Old Testament and I thought, am I going to preach on some of the great revivals from the Old Testament? Began to freshly study the great move of God in 2 Chronicles 20 under Hezekiah, then looked at the revival under Josiah when they went through the temple and discovered the Word. And when they discovered the Word, there came the reading of the Word, and there came the re-establishment of the sacrificial system and everything else, and the nation came into revival. I looked at revivals under so many of the great men of God in the Old Testament, and then began to look at revivals, the book of Acts, and looked then at revivals of our time and moves of God in the last century under some of the greats the century before, under John Wesley, who prayed and fasted 2 days every week, spent hours and hours every night. And I began to look at these great men, George Mueller and Nicholas Zinzendorf, who led the Moravians into a prayer meeting that was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 100 years. It led to the impact of Wesley. And I was looking at revivals and thinking about great moves of God and people that have had an impact. I was thinking about the supernatural reality when God begins to revive in a great way. I think we're coming into revival, but I think we've only just begun to taste the tip of the very tip of the iceberg. When God truly comes in great revival, He takes the field and people are inundated with God, the supernatural God, taking the field, taking control. I am looking forward to the day when we don't leave church, but we stay here and the next crowd come in and the next crowd come in and the church runs like it did at the Azusa Street Revival when the meetings ran day and night, week after week after week, with people coming from all over the nation, many of them lying under the power of God for 36 hours, the glory of God all over them. God wants to do something far beyond anything that we have asked, that we could think of, that we can dream. I'm 70 years young. We're warmed up. We're warmed up. Pastor Jackie and I, we're ready to roll. Not ready to retire. What would you do? I'd go mad. I would go mad. I couldn't take it. I've told you before, I'm not buying a cat. I don't like cats. Well, I do like them. I just can't eat a whole one, but I like them. What? What, Jack? Stick with it. Stay online. Don't digress. Don't be sidetracked with stupidity. Is that what? Correct? Thank you, Jack. Well done. Where would I be without you, my love? Revival is God taking the field. We look at that great revival in Azusa Street when it broke out. It broke out so forcibly and so powerfully that one lady leapt up, jumped onto the piano, had never played the piano before, and began to play like an angel. They could hear the angels singing. People crowded all over the streets. They filled the house. They got up on the veranda, so many on the veranda gazing in through the window that the veranda began to collapse. People across the road falling out under the power of God, being swept down by the anointing, and people coming from all over the nation because of a visitation of God. I don't know about you, but oh God, grant us a visitation unlike anything that's been seen in this nation before. God, grant us a move of power like we've never dreamed. God, come and move amongst us with the supernatural. come and astound us. Everywhere Jesus went, people were astounded. During the move into Topeka, Kansas, just prior to the move of God on Azusa Street, one lady called Agnes Osma was hit by the power of God and could not speak for 6 or 7 days in anything but Chinese. And when she tried to write, all she could write, Andrew, was Chinese. They found out that she had actually spoken in something like 60 Chinese dialects. I didn't know there were that many dialects. In China, during the time of Daddy Seymour, one man, one pastor came in to bring down the move of God and speak against what was happening as people lay prostrate under the power of God, prophetic words changing people's lives and the glory of God so strong that Daddy Seymour would put his head inside a fruit box, just hide his head in there and cry out to God. One man came in to take over and try to oppose the whole move of God. And a 13-year-old girl walked up and said, "Sir, I know who you are. You've come here to try to disrupt and criticize this move of God." And with that, the man of God fell to his knees, sobbing and weeping, which was the case again and again. I looked at revivals. I looked at great moves in the Bible. I was looking in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, "Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." I was thinking over that, and revivalists, great revivals have come when someone has been hungering, when people have been hungering for something greater than themselves, when there's a hunger for God that begins to consume them. And the word here in Matthew 5, verse 6, "Blessed are they who hunger." And that word hunger is in the present durative tense, which literally means blessed are they who have a hunger that continues on even after it's fulfilled. It's a hunger that starts, and when things start to happen, it keeps going. And as it keeps going, it intensifies. Prayer is the initiating catalyst of a revival. The last 12 months, the prayer in this church has just gone to another level. This coming year, our prayer is going to, I believe, and I believe I speak it prophetically, the prayer and the impact of Wednesday mornings and our prayer meetings will go to a level where people are going to come to those prayer meetings and just being in the room are going to get healed and touched and filled with the Holy Ghost just being in those prayer meetings. They'll become an engine room to the whole church. I want to put a challenge on New Year's Eve that 2018 be a year when we pray like never before, when we cry out to God, when we break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon us. It's the catalyst, the initiating catalyst, and it is the sustaining force. The Lord began to speak to me, and it worries me when He then puts the finger on me. But He said, go to Revelation chapter 2. And I began to read in Revelation 2. You can look in your Bible with me if you like. He was writing to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was a significant church. I just hope the page is still in this poor old Bible. Revelation chapter 2. I'm looking at verse 2. This is when He started to speak to me. And He said, and I felt like this was very personal. He said, "Tim, I know your works." The word works is energetic toil. And I said, "We have pushed ourselves this year about as hard as you probably want to push yourself. So the last 12 weeks we've been in New Guinea, Solomon Islands, Philippines, India, and a couple of weeks in America in the last 3 months. And we've been on aeroplanes and off aeroplanes and crazy stuff." And He said to me, "I know your works." And I said, "Okay." He said, "I know you've worked hard this year and your labor." The word labor actually is the word to cut. It's toil, it's cutting, wearying toil. He said, "I know that." He said, I know your patience, your endurance, your patience, your strength to push on when you're tired. And I said, well, we've tried to do that. And then he said, you've tried them that call themselves apostles, you've scrutinized, and in other words, you look for the real. I want to be around the real, don't you? I don't want to be around the plastic. I don't want to be around nonsense. I want to be around the reality. And I think God is bringing his church strongly and powerfully to reality. There's an awful lot of stuff in the body of Christ that's plastic and artificial. But I want precious jewels, not hay and stubble that blows in the breeze. And he said, you've borne things. Let's have a look here. You've borne and has patience. The word born, carried. You've carried weight. And he said, you've been constant. You've been patient. You've labored in tough work. You haven't fainted. I thought, well, we've tried to do those things. And then he said to me, and it was quite clear, he spoke to me late last night. He said, Tim, I got something against you right now. That's what he spoke to me. He said, I got this against you. He said, you've left your first love. He said, remember from where you've fallen and repent and do the first works. He said, you've done a whole lot of things. You've been unbelievably busy. But you've forgotten the first love, the most important, the first thing, the thing that is most significant, the thing that ultimately is the cry of the heart of God, and that's intimacy with him. And I thought, God, I've prayed. Friday, I spent most of the day out seeking God, praying about today, thinking about today, and I get out 2-3 times a week and spend quite a few hours out there. And I thought, Lord, I'm praying. He said, Tim, I want you to think back to the first days. I want you to think back to the beginning, to the first times. He said, I want you to go back in your mind to the beginning. He said, when you really were pushing in after me. And he started to remind me of the early days. And this is not a prideful thing, but I started to think about when I first got saved. It was under Pastor Russell's dad, Pastor Andrew Evans. You've heard the story before. I was a drunken school teacher. I drank incredibly heavily. I drank tequila like water, and that's being very honest. And I would have finished myself off by probably 35 years of age. I don't think I would have made it much further with the lifestyle that I had. And I remember sitting in the church, sitting in Pastor Andrew's church, and hearing the call, which I've talked about before here, so I don't need to go over it, but I remember in the back row, standing up there, convicted, out of my mind, convicted with a desperation to know Jesus. And I'll never forget the moment when I felt his hand on my shoulder and I got up and I walked to the front of that altar, stood down there, and the whole of hell that seemed to control my life was going out. Pastor Andrew walked over to me and said, what's your name, son? See, God had spoken to him and said, I'm going to give you a Timothy. And he said, what's your name? I said, it's Tim. He began to cry, put his hand on my head. Mighty anointing of power went through my body. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. Didn't know what was happening, but all I knew was that I walked into that place, one person, and I walked out that night with something in me that I'd never known before, something that was changing me from the inside, a new seed of life and power that had come into my life so I'd never be the same. And this morning here in this meeting, if you don't know him, you will have that chance to have that same incredible experience with the living God. I went out of there. I got a position as a senior master in a high school, a place called Murray Bridge. I didn't know much. I didn't know very much about the things of God, except down in here, there was something that said, there's a first thing in your life. There's a first thing to pursue. Everything else doesn't matter quite the same. I was a school teacher, I was a senior master of an art department. We had a great staff and I loved it. I was a good teacher and ran a very good department, I think. But there was a passion that said all day long, all I waited for was to get out of school at night, and then I'd go and up to the roadhouse, have a steak if I wasn't fasting, and then go out down by the river and walk up and down the Murray River hour after hour, crying out to God, I don't know much about you, but I've got to have you. I've got to have an intimacy with you. I've got to know your power. I've got to know your anointing. I've got to know more of you. Would you come? Would you fill me? Would you permeate me? Would you let your power fill every cell of my being? Night after night after night after night every day. Then into fasting and at least 10 days on water every month, and then some 20 days locked in with God, seeking God until I would walk around feeling like 240 volts of power all over my body, all through me and out of me. And I think about that now, and I hear the words of the Lord, look how far you've fallen. I pray, I get out with God, but I feel Him saying to me, where's the intensity that once, where's the intensity that once said, all I want in this world is to walk in the intimacy of the presence and the power of God? You see, ministry can become an idol. Ministry, the scary part of ministry is this, that I can go to a place and preach, and I've dug enough wells of the Word of God and sought God enough to have impacting word that God has put His seal upon. And without really preparing or praying much, you can go in and preach and the power of God flows, when you yourself are not really walking as close as you want to. Not really walking in the dimension of God that is craving within. I talk to so many Christians, busy Christians, busy about the task, busy about work, energetic, laboring, patient, living right, hating sin, looking for real, carrying weight, constant, laboring, not fainting under the weight, but missing the vital ingredient. Missing the thing that makes Christianity so incredibly phenomenal. And that's the intimacy. Where are we this year? I remembered going into the mountains, and Pastor Andrew asked me, would you be the youth pastor? And I said, let me firstly go away and seek God. And I remember taking a bus up to Lee Creek and then a light plane out to the Northern Flinders. I said, come back, get me in 21 days, and just stayed out there seeking the face of God, seeking God, 12, 15, 16 hours a day, walking around praying in the Spirit and saying, Father, I've got to carry your anointing. Got to have your power flowing through me. God, I've got to have that intimacy with you, God. God, I need you so much. I remember one of those times out there, I felt the Lord say, come and take communion with me. I said, Lord, I remember getting some water and a biscuit or something, and I said, Lord, can we have communion together? And His glory came into the room, and I just fell down there and sobbed and wept way out there on my own in the mountains. So often I feel the pull to get away from all the things of ministry and just go into that place where it's just him and his power and his... I've been out to the Flinders Ranges now for probably 40, 50 times, sometimes 10, 20 days out there. And drive 50 kilometres away and I feel the Lord literally come and sit in the car. I usually need a flood out there just to get me home. Jackie will play for rain to get me home. Get me to come home. I want to start this year. And that's what we've done. Jack and I, we've taken time. I'm not travelling anywhere. My work for the next 2.5 months, I'm just going to give my mornings to... It's getting lost in his presence, just seeking his word, seeking his presence. Because there's something about to happen and I don't want to miss it. There's something about to break out on this planet. And I don't want to miss it. I want to be in the thick of it. When these things begin to happen, I want to be right in the thick of it. I talked to Jackie many times. I'm going to close with this. When she first got saved, she'd come out of a Catholic background and had a dramatic, dramatic experience with the Lord. In fact, her testimony is probably one of the most powerful testimonies I've ever heard. How Jesus, for a period of time, actually came and sat and spoke with her. I feel his presence and I've known his intimacy so close, I've never actually seen Jesus. But she had some encounters with him that were so intimate. And when I've talked, I'll be honest with you, I felt quite jealous. I said, Lord, I'd like that. But she talked about the Lord meeting with her. And Sam would testify to some of the stuff that happened in their home. Food being delivered and supernatural provision that came with the first love. My challenge today is to me. My challenge, or God's challenge today is to me personally. Tim, I want you in that place where it's not about ministry. To be honest, the last year, traveling and preaching and ministering has started to become a little wearisome at times. A bit like going around the mountain and around the mountain. And I said to the Lord, why? He said, because you've lost the intimacy. I'm confessing to everybody today. So you're walking right with God. Yeah, I'm not in sin or anything, and I'm praying, I'm seeking God, I'm getting out in prayer, but that fervent burning, that fervent, gut-wrenching burning that says, God, without you, at nothing. All the success in ministry, Pastor Russell will tell you the same, Pastor Sam, because they're intimate with God. And we're in a church that's intimate with God. It's a worshiping church. It's a loving church. It's a church that wants the power of God. It's a praying church. But I really think that God, even in that, is saying to us, as you move into this coming year, I want you to seek me with the intensity that you first did. I want you to hunger for me with the passion that you first felt when my glory and my love and my power filled you and strengthened you and touched you. If our whole church begin to intensely seek God, our businesses will thrive, our homes will flourish, our kids will blossom, and our church will explode because people all over the city are going to come to you and say, what have you got? Well, thanks so much for joining us online today here at Planet Shakers. I trust the message has inspired you and stirred you up for this coming year. May 2018 be the greatest year of your entire life. God bless you.